The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
All right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Files Law Hour here on WWDB Talk 860. Awesome show. Lots going on in the Delaware Valley. We're live, so we got a big game tonight. Lots going on. The reason I bring that big game up is if somebody gets injured in that game, which we hope not, it becomes a workers' compensation case. And you see what I'm saying?
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, here we go.
So, and of course, Caitlin Files of Files Law is in the house. Hello, Caitlin, how are you?
Hi, Joe. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fantastic. We also have Alexis Crandall from Wineman Paint and Wellness. How are you, Alexis?
I'm good. I'm excited for tonight.
Yeah, so am I. Again, during the game, I'll just state this. We all, you know, love the game and all, but, you know, I try to keep my language to a minimum because I was an iron worker, you know, but Alexis, when something goes wrong, she calls me up and says, those sons, and I mean, I'm like, my God, it's crazy. She also threatens me and said, don't tell anybody about my trash mouth during the Eagles game.
That sounds like her too.
I'll tell you one thing, during the Tampa Bay game, I had to unhook my phone. It was so crazy.
I told you not to talk about it. I'm sorry. We've gone through this.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Anyway, it is a cool day, and this is Caitlin Files Day here at WWDB.
Why wasn't I told? Today's a national holiday.
Right, exactly. So, by the way, come on. It's never happened to me here before ever where I did two live shows in the same day. Caitlin's also on the Matarazzo and Loopster show at 2:00.
Woo-hoo.
So nice. You and I think we live about the same distance away.
No, you know what? You haven't been to Bucks County in a while.
And that's why there's been a drought.
Yeah.
That's why there's been a drought. I'll tell you what.
Joe, Alexis, I never put that together. That's so accurate.
Alexis, you don't know what happens when I go to Bucks County. Caitlin, if you will.
Every single time. It is not an exaggeration. Every single time it storms. And not like it's raining.
Not a dribble.
It's not drizzle. Hurricane every time we filmed our show. The lights were flickering every single time. Like, I'm scared for him to drive to and from the show.
It's true.
Every single time.
It obviously annoys her because
don't go to Bucks County.
Is that you? You're out there also?
No. I actually have not. We just talked about this last night. I haven't been to her office.
Well,
because we're always out and about.
Next radio show, everyone will be out in Bucks.
100%. Yes. 100%.
Let's go.
Let's do this. I want to take a quick break. We're going to have our guest on in just a minute. More from the Files Law Hour in just a minute.
Woohoo.
Battles aren't won solely on the field. That's a common misconception. Battles are won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. In that place where promises are kept. Promises to oneself.
This is a physical training event.
Promises to one's community.
Helping people move debris out of their house.
Promises to one's country. In the heart of every Marine, you'll find a promise. A promise forever kept. A promise of battles won.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Files Law Hour here on WWDB Talk 860. Our fantastic guest, Brian Fritz of Fritz Biancooley, is in the house. Brian, how are you, sir?
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me today, and I'm glad to be here with you guys.
Well, it is always a pleasure. Today's a big day, in the Delaware Valley. It's been a while since Washington has been as good as they are. And tonight we have the, you know, we had the ball game. And I just made a point that if somebody gets injured, God forbid, we do not want that. It is a work comp case, and they will be going to files law.
I don't know about that. That's what I'm talking. Yeah.
if
I like you manifesting that for
well,
me.
Listen, Jalen Hurts, you know that has a little ankle injury or something like that.
I will be upset if I get a call from Jalen Hurts. Yeah. So, I'll be like, why are you hurt? Like,
yeah.
That's a great point. That's a
yeah,
bad
thing. I don't want that call.
That's a bad. I should have never said that. Let's maybe even so. I just said a little tweak. He's going to want to know what his benefits are.
Okay, just a phone.
Well, if that happens,
a conversation.
If that happens, Joe, I'm sure you'll be viral by tomorrow. All right, your predictions.
And by the way, if it happens because of a soda vendor who brings, it does a special promotion at the beginning of the game, but doesn't take the machine off the field, and Jalen slips on something, the third party case is going to Brian Fritz.
Wow, what a scenario you have set
yeah,
up.
Yes. Look at you, Joe. Yeah. Woo!
He's like, I dreamt that last night.
Ladies and gentlemen, I had my coffee this morning. So.
I can tell.
Having said that, and Alexis, just so you understand, Brian, she don't leave the studio until I talk about the contingency fee agreement.
Sure.
We'll talk about that later. Let's do this. So just to start the broadcast off, Caitlin, remind our listeners about yourself and the firm.
Sure. Caitlin Files. We have a law firm out in Bucks County that we practice in all of Pennsylvania, primarily workers' compensation, do some Social Security disability. And yeah, we've been open for coming up on 5 years now.
Fantastic. Brian Fritz, if you will.
Sure. Brian Fritz of Fritz and Bean Cooley. We represent injured individuals in third-party cases, which is a complement to workers' compensations, where somebody outside of the employer may have contributed or caused the injury, and we specialize in that, as well as the other more commonly known injury-type cases. We practice in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, as well as New Jersey.
And Alexis Crandall, a little bit about Weinerman, Payne & Wallace and yourself.
Yeah, I'm Alexis Crandall. I'm the Director of Marketing for Weinerman Pain and Wellness. We have chiropractic care, physical therapy, pain management, and then we just added a psychologist to our team as well.
All right, so we got a lot of good things going on here. And so let's talk a little bit about what is going on in everybody's world. And then we'll start off, obviously, with Brian. Any cases that are you know, at the top of your list right now in regards to third-party type cases that are, you know, that need representation by two firms, or if not now, impacting cases that you've done before?
Sure. I mean, a lot of times it's critically important that we work with firms, workers' comp firms, such as files firms, with regard to spotting and identifying potential third-party cases. And we have one right now that was actually rejected by a third-party evaluation. And the workers' comp attorney was very vigilant about that and got the case to us. And it makes a world of difference to this person who is so catastrophically injured. And I'll go more, we have a trial date coming up, but I'll be able to go more into that in the event that whenever that case comes to conclusion. But for that individual, for folks that are reviewing cases from the workers' comp and that they're able to identify those potential third parties, even if they get a negative review from a third-party attorney. In this case, apparently there was felt not to be a certain type of product liability case, and it would be workers' comp only. We looked into it and saw an avenue that went beyond the employer, where there was a composite of a corporate hierarchy, and the people at the top were actually making decisions for the lower level companies, including the production facilities. And there was a long history of safety violations, removal, safety devices, and the like, as well as multiple, and I mean multiple, prior injuries throughout the country, as well as a managerial concept that removing those safety devices and the risk of injury was acceptable. And what we're coming to find out when you hear about this story, you actually think that, wow, that happens in the United States? because when you hear about it, you'd expect it to be a brick factory in some third world country.
Indonesia.
Yeah. No, and here you're having that in our own backyard. And it really shows you. We go to bed at night swaddled in this this assumption of comfort and safety that the government's looking out for us. OSHA's there. OSHA has some sort of ubiquitous or everywhere type eyes on things, and they don't. They don't.
They do not, because there's. I mean, it's so. There's so few. I have a show next week with OSHA on my labor show, and I don't know how many people are still left in that office.
Well, I mean, and even when you do see the people come out there, there's also something that we found out with OSHA, which is absolutely startling, is where someone can send in a report of an accident, and then OSHA will ask them for more information, and then it goes into a separate category that OSHA says, oh, okay, well, as long as you corrected it and we think that your remedial action is okay, and it's never listed on the public website. And the workers' comp carriers don't become aware of it, and general public it doesn't become aware of it, and you have to ask specifically for this type of action, where it's and it actually has a very bizarre name to it, which I can't remember right now, but you have to ask for that separately from OSHA, and they're not going out there.
Right.
So, and even for amputation injuries, even for the typical loss of eye injuries. And stuff like they're not going out there. They're asking the employer to report. So even the impact of OSHA has been further diluted by this avenue of more or less, let's rely upon the employer who obviously wasn't self-policing to begin with, and that's why you have the injury. So, and we're seeing this more and more in manufacturing where they're actually so brazen. That's an antiquated term for my grandmother. Brazen,
yeah.
where they actually are budgeting for injuries. They actually have allowable OSHA injuries per year. So it's almost that they're forecasting the fact that we know people are going to get hurt. Not that our goal is zero. Our goal of allowable injuries might be 25 across the country, 39, 42. And then we come to learn that they are all, quote, OSHA reportable injuries, meaning death. Amputation, okay, inpatient hospitalization, those sorts of things are actually being budgeted for because they are so emboldened, the fact that they don't think that they're, even if they do get caught, that's not going to be that bad. That the cost of doing business, it's better to take the chance, and the OSHA fine will be so minimis that they are de minimis, that they are emboldened to.
It's part of the cost of doing
that's
business.
Wild.
Yeah.
I know.
It's wild.
It's almost like the Ford Pinto scenario, if everybody remembers
yes.
that.
Wait, we learned about that in law school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, where suddenly you had Ford, who had actually had actuaries come in and do a cost-benefit analysis of how much will it cost us to recall all these mm-hmm. cars and fix the problem versus how much will it cost us to pay for the lawsuits.
Yep.
And somehow that memo got out there, and next mm-hmm. thing they knew that if the car was hit a certain way, it literally could turn into a bomb.
Yeah.
And so now, like, you have these folks in a very much the same way of cost of doing business.
Can I ask you a question? Do you have any cases out in Reading? Because I've heard the Reading manufacturing areas are just ripe with just crazy safety. And, like, you're seeing the chicken plants and stuff like that. It's just the injuries, it's wild. You're not even seeing more happen.
Well, so here's the one thing. Is a lot of times those plants. So the short answer to your question is sometimes. We're not seeing as much as you would expect,
mm-hmm.
all right, considering how unsafe they are. It's not because we're looking around for a ticker tape parade of injured people coming to us. It's because of how unsafe they are. What we've learned is a lot of those factories are populated with immigrant
right.
or potentially undocumented people
mm-hmm.
where they are so afraid of other things.
Yeah.
And the employer knows that.
Right.
And they're afraid of not only will I get potentially jammed up with immigration, they're also concerned about the social stigma because sometimes those corporations employ so many people from that community in that area that suddenly the disciples within the corporation go out and now you get stigmatized that you are going to ruin it for everybody.
Okay, yeah.
And that's what we see happening. And one of the plants that we're involved in is actually out in Hazleton, where there's a heavy Dominican population.
There was a lot of COVID. I mean, so many people died in those areas at those plants.
There's no standards of safety there.
It's just incredible, man.
Oh, yeah. They don't care. They don't care.
That's
they
it. No one's holding them accountable. They don't care.
The one thing we did that you might find interesting is that we, in battling the motion for summary judgment in the case I'm talking about, and motion for summary judgment, for the people that don't know, is where someone files that saying the case should be dismissed because you failed to present factual issues to be determined by a jury. And there's no way you could prevail, so judge, throw the case out. And what we did in responding to one of those claims was actually bringing up what's called the substantial certainty test. Because of how many incidents this company had and just how bold they were and how much they didn't care about the safety, and actually going through and removing safety devices on machines and rewiring them.
It's wild.
So the fact,
wild.
So we embedded in our response was, because we anticipated that, oh, we're going to appeal. Great, appeal it. Because in our response, we put in there an examination of the substantial certainty test in other jurisdictions and saying it was high time for the Pennsylvania Supreme Court to adopt that, saying that there's no way the legislature ever intended to give people immunity for such callous, malicious actions.
Right.
And then in our case, because of the guy's injuries were so severe, we then made an analogy to manslaughter, that had our guy bled to death as a result of his injuries. Mm-hmm. We said that because of them knowing. Yeah, and subjecting him to that,
right,
it would rise to the level of manslaughter under the criminal code.
Yeah.
So how in the world would a legislature ever give anybody the pass to commit criminal conduct? So therefore, the substantial certainty test must be adopted.
That's a great argument. Yeah. That's a great
As I sit here, it's amazing where these shows go.
Okay. You weren't expecting us to be talking about this.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is I asked Brian one question and so many things. Like in the middle of what you're saying, right? First of all, you see that every personal injury attorney is not the same, okay? You talk about the layers that you just dug down.
Well, that's why the quality of a third-party attorney matters so much on my end, because I just do the comp, and then I pass to the third party and I say, is there anything here? But so many third-party attorneys will just kind of kick it out and say no. Mm-hmm. So, like, the third-party attorney, like Brian, who's like, let me go to the next layer and dig a little deeper, is so important.
I've learned this on this broadcast. This is interesting, and I'm actually talking to Alexis when I say this. What's amazing about this is, and you've heard us talk about these things, but it's why you can't, and there are people out there scared to death, okay, they get injured, especially they get injured on a job. It's why you can't go to a dabbler for workers' compensation for a lot of reasons. Okay, that, you know, people that don't know the great personal injury attorneys like Brian and you know, others that have, you know, that know a little bit about workers' comp, obviously, and are great personal injury attorneys, know that you just can't dabble in workers' comp, and so they have great colleagues and great networks. Imagine going to your friend of a friend who may even care a lot about you, could even be a cousin, okay? They are dabbling in an area they shouldn't be dabbling in. And how many of these type of cases, I'm listening to this, and I'm listening to Brian go down, take the layers, to talk about the Supreme Court and all those things, right? Imagine if you don't have a good workers' compensation attorney or personal injury attorney. This could be a multi-million-dollar situation. And let me just say this. The reason why that, you know, is important is because maybe this person's so catastrophic injured. When you were talking, okay, it shivers me a little bit, because I've been a job steward on an ironworker shop. And I mean, a million times, okay? So in our business, if it's not a high-rise building, you have to have a job steward. One of the guys, what happens is you all get there, small job, and who wants to be the steward? I don't feel like going to the hall every week and filing reports up. Who's got time? Okay. So I was the job steward in at Penn, right around the corner from Penn. It was a church on 47th and Lancaster. Never forget it as long as I live. And here when you're a job steward on a smaller job, and it wasn't a real small job, it was a church, but it still was huge. It was like a Monday morning. I'm sitting, I'm bolting up at the bottom, and the guy's putting a steel up right on top of me, like right up. And they're like, Joe, we're above you. You got to move. I moved, okay. And it was first thing in the morning. I walk out on the deck, and all of a sudden I hear firecrackers, and it was pop 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 pop. What was it? The crane operator brought the piece up instead of going through the building. He went down the side of the street, and it hit the power lines. And when it hit the power lines, my buddy, and by the way, he was 56 years old at the time. This was 20-some years ago. All of a sudden, it hit him. He fell off of every beam. He hit every beam, hit the deck, and crashed into the concrete court, into water. The blood was everywhere, right? And he when we saw his glove, it had a small little hole in it. He lost his arm. He lived, thank God. Wow. But on that job, you know, and we're supposed to be big macho iron workers, right? And I was on the phone with the union hall screaming at Pete McDonough, who was our business agent at the time, going, I thought he was dead. The reason I bring that up is I listen to you talk about an eye and a losing of an eye, you know, everybody here, really. And you've seen it. And I'm sitting here getting chills going, mm-hmm. You see this stuff all the time. Yeah. This is, and face to face. Now you see the aftermath. Okay, in our business, as you well know, bro, because you you too, Caitlin, because you guys are really experiencing your world. You see the immediate aftermath and those situations. Imagine if you didn't have great attorneys and legal representation, and didn't know where that was, where the third party element was. You know, as an experienced attorney on both sides. I mean, if somebody's dabbling, they may not only miss the work comp case, mm-hmm. okay, but they may miss the personal injury case. And what happens? The guy, like I just said, and he was 56, but he's still, I'm pretty sure he's alive now in his 80s. My point is, he's got 30, 40, if he's a young guy, 50, and his life is completely devastated if he doesn't get the right legal. And that situation may only happen one time in his life, but if he doesn't get the right legal representation, his entire life, it's not about the number, people mistake about the amount of money. Oh, it's a $3 million. Okay, well, it cost him $2.5 million to live at the house he lives for the rest of his life. As experts in these areas, talk about, I'm sure that you have heard stories. You know, we at the water cooler when we would talk about jobs all over the city. I'm sure at the offices you've run into cases where somebody's life was devastated because they either ran into a work comp attorney who was not a work comp attorney, maybe a general practice guy, excellent at wills, or because they didn't, and that person didn't see the third party. They not only got the work comp. How often is that scenario a reality, and what's the potential for it being a reality if they don't get experts in your world?
So luckily enough, my whole practice before I went on my own, I was at one of the big work comp law firms. So they were excellent at making sure they hit the third party cases. So from the day I started practicing until I opened my own firm, I saw it done right. The way that you make sure we didn't dabble. We were work comp attorneys. So I saw them do it right from the start. Every case was addressed that there is a third party component. It wasn't like, oh, let me think about it. It was in from
part of the checklist.
On. Yeah, you referred out immediately. So there was no messing around with that. Not every firm does it that way. And you do see cases, you do see intakes. I do get calls from people. And they'll be, a few months into their injury, they'll have a different attorney. And then I'll say, well, who's your third party attorney? And they're like, I don't have another. What? How do you not have a third party attorney? You have a third party claim here. So you do see it happen. And then you got to get it out to the third party attorney. But I was lucky enough to be trained the correct way that you never let it slip through the cracks.
Talk about your world, Brian, because I've had a guy one time lose his leg, Okay, it was a friend of my brother-in-law's. Couldn't get a third party attorney. Finally, he had a work comp. No, he didn't have a work comp. Finally got one and got a pretty major settlement. Now, point is that it, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. It depends what the eyes that are looking at this in the experience where you come from an area just like Caitlin, where you've been trained by the absolute best. How important is it and how easy is it for somebody else not to see what you see? Because you just broke that thing down. Like, you know, if somebody's not looking at every possibility and aware of them, could go the wrong way.
Sure. Let me stick with that example. And again, to the credit, and I'm sure the workers' comp attorney that got that client to us comes from the same background that Caitlin comes from.
Sure.
Where he said, you know what, I'm not going to just go by what somebody else tells me. I'm going to go until I am told by multiple people that there's nothing here for this guy. So when that came to us, we promised the client two things. One is if he was willing to go along the journey, one, we would get him answers, and two, we would do the best that we could. So now what happened was when in terms of what we did on that was I brought in a corporate governance expert who was a corporate attorney out of Delaware talking about the corporate structure. This stuff isn't cheap to do, okay?
No.
And then I also brought in corporate forensic accounting expert to go through their tax returns to show that, by the way, they were depreciating things meant underneath the tax code that the upper levels of the company claimed ownership because they were claiming depreciation of the equipment.
This is next level.
Yeah.
So, then I got an industrial organizational psychologist involved to talk about the managerial philosophy, the safety culture. And then from there, I actually got an NAACP civil rights advocate involved because of the proliferation of how many minorities were being injured.
Wow.
And the correlation between that and the lack of safeties and then ultimately leading to my guy's accident.
Wow.
So all those things we did and put together to build that case. Now, where will that go? Will that lead to? I can't predict, and nor would I jinx myself and say. But the one thing that will never be able to be replicated for this guy and his injuries, no amount of money will necessarily replace what he's lost.
Right.
It will just make it generational wealth, and also to maybe all the suffering's not in vain, and give his two young kids, who's he's never been able to hold their hands.
Oh.
All right.
Oh my God.
Give them an opportunity for better things in life.
Wow.
Okay. But the one thing that will never be replicated was this. We were able to give him answers.
Yes.
He went for 4 years being gaslit by the company, thinking it was his fault. Oh. So not only is he living with these injuries, he's living with that burden mm-hmm. of I did this to myself.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to take that off of him. Oh. And not many people have ever witnessed an epiphany of seeing one, but certainly over the phone, I don't know of one. When I was able to give him that news, that's what happened.
Oh.
The hyperventilating, convulsive crying of just being able to be absolved of that burden. And now that, Joe, Caitlin, everybody, that is a career accomplishment alone
yeah.
of being able to take that off of him.
Absolutely.
Right? So even if nothing else comes of this, that man can go forward in life knowing what the truth is.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, and at that point cannot be overstated. You were looking for experts. You know, you were researching this. This is the case we
yes.
11:30 at night on a Friday or Saturday night. You know, I mean, working your tail off on that. You talk about trying to research that during those stages, and we talked about it several times. About the individual, but about, you know, when you were doing your research for the experts. And I was dumbfounded. I was in the hospital with my wife at the time when we were talking. And so, you know, your passion, and when I think about that type of situation, I had it's funny how an one of the business managers of the iron workers called me up. A guy got injured on the job. He had an elbow issue. Anyway, he swore the doctor didn't do the surgery, blah, blah. Either way, it was a work injury. He had a work comp case. It was already being, but he couldn't get anybody to take Finally, somebody took a look at it. He thought it was Med-Mal. What you just said is so unbelievably important. This guy was on the border of jumping off a damn bridge. Why? Because he thought that the doctor at the big institution was so big that everybody was afraid of him.
Yeah.
Finally, a Med-Mal attorney that I had done some radio shows, I spoke to him, and he actually took a look at the case. And he said, look, it's not unusual for somebody's assistants to do the surgery, number one. And I see he swore the guy left something in his arm. He said, but here's the situation. It might be a case, but no good lawyer is going to put this guy through 4 years of this and there not be anything. In other words, it could be, but it's not something that they would want to put him through because it's, you know, it would be expensive and it would not do him any good. When I told that guy that, I could hear him on the phone going, the relief coming out of him. Mm-hmm. He just wanted the truth and he couldn't get anybody to tell him the truth. And he was okay. He had a work comp case, but, and whether you have a case or not, that point that you make, Brian, that you can give somebody good news or even it's so on point that even when you give them bad news, if you explain to them what it was, this man no longer has to go the rest of his life thinking that he was, you know, like, you know, that he had something and that he was screwed over incredibly bad. I could hear him going, I cannot thank you enough for this. This was going on for a couple of years. And so, but as you can see, based upon, you know, your vetting of this particular case, and in a sense, building it and seeing it, to me, I think I'm a creative person. So when I'm doing these interviews and these shows and whatever, I want to have, you know, a lot of how much in a sense does creativity in a sense, and you know, come into play because so many hundreds, probably hundreds of thousands of cases where one attorney, looks at it and says, there's nothing there. And then Ryan Fritz, possibly a Brian Fritz type who understands that I was willing to go to the next level because you see something that is a possibility and you have the experience to do it. How much does creativity come into it?
100%. I mean, at least what we do. And half of it is, you know, people ask me if I have hobbies, right? And I really don't have hobbies. I mean, in terms of hobbies as like fly fishing, golf, no. My hobby is always...
I do long distance running, like multiple 100-mile things. That's not important.
So my whole thing is always like, how can I do better? And a lot of times what I'll do is fixate on these cases and just have an instinctual feeling that there's something else there. And let me give you an example. There was a case that was rejected. And it was, again, another workers' comp person got it to us. And the gentleman was backed into by a nondescript, no markings delivery truck. And the guy was delivering ice, okay? And he was an independent contractor, meaning existing on his own, on paper. That's what it looked like. And he backed up, and our guy was unloading food product from the back of a van. And he backed up and scissored his leg.
Between
the two. So after like 14 surgeries and whatever, he went up losing his leg.
Oh, my.
And so for this gentleman, because he was a very simple man.
And the case was rejected?
Other people because of the fact that his liens... And everything else were felt to be, his liens and everything else were felt to be so high that there would never be a recovery.
Mm.
And also that the certain insurance coverage wasn't there on its face, right? Because the driver of the truck only had a $35,000 policy.
Mm.
So it got to me. I put an investigator to follow the guy from when he left to see what happens when he went to go pick up the ice. And we got him opening the doors, using the equipment, everything else, like he owned the place that he was getting the ice from. Then I went and did some research on FDA requirements on food products. And then I got a trucking expert and talked to them. And here it turns out that a food company is responsible for their product and how it's transported from the time it leaves their facility to the time it arrives to the ultimate consumer.
Wow.
So by using that, we extrapolate that and pinned control of the delivery driver back to the ice company. And then that's how our guy with no leg got a case. But there was also another important point.
It's incredible.
Is that gentleman came to me. I really thought he was going to want to commit suicide.
Yeah. Oh.
So I got him into a group of like people And there's something crazy about human psychology. And, so, and you see these mm-hmm. sort of traits within AA, GA, all these other things, where there's a collective. If they have a common problem, if people have a common problem, and it feels that the collective, the group, relies upon each other and they're important, mm-hmm. it reestablishes purpose. And by doing that, this man was talking to other people and other people relied upon him and mm-hmm. the group. He was important in the group again.
They can all relate. Yeah. They all have been through the same thing.
And he came up to me after the case and he said, if it wasn't for you, I would have killed myself.
Oh my God.
Because if I wasn't part of that group.
Well, Alexis, you guys.
And that's important with the psychological aspect.
Yeah. So you have at Wineman Pain and Wellness, you guys just brought on a really top notch.
We did, yeah. And I also think as like an outsider, obviously I'm not a lawyer. I can relate to my dad before, like probably now it's been 8 years. He had a workers' comp case, and he was denied, and they didn't bring any third party in. And he got a settlement, but he still is in pain every single day. So, like, I wish we could, like, fast forward to me being in this career.
So you're in this career
him,
now.
Yeah, and got him the real help he really needed, mm-hmm. Because he could have gotten care for the rest of his life. He has all five of his nerve damages. He was a professional chef, and he was moving like one of those slicers with his employer and it slipped and it landed completely on his hand and all nerves are completely damaged. Like he can't really move his arm. And yeah, he did get a settlement, but it wasn't anything like
but emotionally
to run
speaking.
Home about. But he, to relate back to what we're talking about, his work made him think it was his fault the entire time. And his lawyer did prove that it wasn't his fault because he did do all of his research, but I do wish there was a third party brought in. But we didn't know. I mean, you don't know what you don't know. And we didn't, like, they just acted fast and got a lawyer that was near them and that was 5 minutes away from them. You know what I mean? Exactly. So,
but that is a scenario that is exactly what we're talking about.
Well, the one thing for us and what we do, and our cases run so long in terms of building up and working mm-hmm, right. them through, especially for a case, some of the cases we're talking about here today, those things and the results don't fall out of the sky. And it takes a very...
It's a slow burn.
A drawn-out discovery process, a lot of fighting and stuff like that. So what's critically important is having a workers' comp attorney like Caitlin involved because these guys, otherwise, a lot of... What we started seeing more of is that the workers' comp insurance carriers are trying to starve these guys mm-hmm. and then throw them a paltry settlement thinking that they're so desperate that they'll take it. So that's why they need somebody like Caitlin to come in and know how to fight that fight. Mm-hmm. Because some other folks out there that are, you know, just doing the grind, they may just want to lickety-split, settle mm-hmm. one and move on to the next one. So the attention that she gives to people and how much she cares about that has to be in the case. And workers' comp is set by, you know, she could speak to it more, but, you know, workers' comp has to get them through the battle while we fight the war.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Talk about that, Caitlin.
No, exactly. I was just talking to someone about this yesterday, and then when you get a case, and we're small enough that I'm more of a therapist mm-hmm. than I am. I take calls. We'll text her. I'll be like, on the phone with this client again. He calls me every single day. But he is in the worst.
I've been
worst.
Trying to call you for 6 weeks.
We've been different. Screening your calls, Joe. You're on a block list. You can't get through to me.
I knew it.
You can't get through to me. But my clients, once they become clients, they then get a direct line to me. Mm-hmm. So they can call me directly. And it is just talking all day. And there are cases where it's denied and they're not going to pick it up anytime soon because it's going to be, it's mm-hmm. either 0 or 100. Like these are big cases and they try to starve them out. So every day it's on the phone and they come to you at their worst moments. And third party cases, work comp cases, you know, people say, what's your biggest case? What's your best case? And it's not about the money and the settlement. It's about which ones mattered the most to you, the ones with the real human suffering and those moments of, hey, I either got you this or here's the truth of the case. And you just see the relief. You see the tears. I've given so many hugs. I've cried before giving news to people because you're so happy. It's such a long journey. And they are just, they're broken physically, financially, mentally. Mm-hmm. To be able to even just ease that a little bit is huge. And part of what we do with the firm is to be along the journey. It's handholding. Well, it's handholding the whole time.
It amazes me because it seems to me as I sit here is that, you know, in order to really, really excel at your jobs, it obviously is not just about the money because, you know, you hear all kinds. I always get a kick out of when somebody, you know, somebody will have, well, they'll talk about how they got in their field. Typically, it's an internship or something like that got them, you know, in a particular area. And even if they didn't, it didn't go there, you know, they met people, whatever. But I have, you know, doing an injured workers program that we did for years, you know, the patients, okay, everything we're talking about, okay, intellect, passion, drive, all those things. But the patience and the empathy that it takes to sit in your seats. I one time spoke to a guy, the woman called the injury line, and we're just advocates, so we just kind of direct them to their union's endorsed firm if they want, okay? And so I'll never forget, this woman called, she was with one of the city unions, and she said, I got injured last year, okay? I went back to work. It was one of those injured on duty things. It was with the city, one of the city unions. And I said, well, look, you know, we're advocates, you know, but, you know, we appreciate your calling, but we have to inform your attorney. We're not, you know, in other words, we're not going to inform, you know, send you to somebody else you already have. I remember I called that guy. He was leaving town, man. He had had enough of, I guess, listening to people and doing things. He had no patience left. And it dawned on me immediately that what it takes to special people, it takes to be that counselor 8 hours a day, mm-hmm. okay? To dig so deep when you're at the beginning and no one's paying you, mm-hmm. okay? You're vetting the case. Kind of talk about that and you know, knowing you had, it's almost like a calling. Because, Brian, you do this, your hobby is going over your cases and finding things that somebody else might not. That's it. But is it more of a calling? And what is it like when you get to finally call that person up and give them the good news?
I think and you would never think of this quality, but I think for an injury attorney to be a good injury attorney, there has to be compassion. They have to be a compassionate person because that then leads to the creativity that Brian's talking about. If you don't care about your client, you don't care about the case, you're not sitting there on a Friday night doing that work. You have to feel compassion for that human that you want to do the best job for them. And that's when like the creativity comes in because that's when you're thinking about your clients. You want to help them. And so that compassion and creativity goes hand in hand to make that is what takes injury lawyers and puts them a step above the injury lawyer next to them. It's not just I'm smart. It's not just I'm going to hustle for the money. That human compassion for your fellow man then opens the eyes for the creativity that you're hearing Brian talk about.
So sure, and you have to care. It has to matter, right? You know, when you dedicate this, it's not a job. It's a vocation, right? And you know, when people come to you and they what Caitlin had mentioned, that they're most helpless, you know what I mean, points in their lives. And that trust that they give you, it is a, for some people, it'll be an overwhelming task, but other people, it's more or less like a very compelling thing to do. One of the things in terms of doing that, you have to be able to tell a story and you have to have compassion to be able to tell a story. The most effective storytellers aren't the ones that just simply read pages out of a book, right? And just like usually most compelling speech givers are the ones not necessarily reading from the speech. If you go back and look at
absolutely
the I Have a Dream speech, right? And the reason why that's so compelling,
right?
And because of the structure of it and him tapping into his target market and the audience, right? And knowing how to hit the chords and resonate through not only the folks that he was trying to address, but also the country at large. What Dr. Martin Luther King was doing in that. And when you listen to that and you realize that the level of compassion, empathy, and projection.
Sure.
And that doesn't fall out of the sky. And you have to have that. One of the things that I do is that not every case, But in the cases that we're going to be putting together a mediation presentation, we go out and we video things and we do interviews with family members, the injured people, and stuff like that. And what I started doing was just to provoke the requisite emotion from the audience, regardless of how much they're adversaries. They're still human beings. In order to inflect that emotional chord, music often comes through. And a lot of the times what I spend doing is figuring out the music to score these videos with that's not, so it won't be contrite or feeling cheesy or anything like that, but also emulates the person that you're telling the story about. Like, for instance, the most recent one we did was for a dock builder where he was very much involved in a charity. And that's, he used to go to work to earn money to pay for this charity, this autistic charity for children. And he ran all these halftime shows and everything else. And what we did was we used, A Sky Full of Stars. We did the instrumental first of a lead-in showing him of the very pedestrian house that he lives in now and the very reduced lifestyle that he has. Talk to people. And we interpose that. And then at the end, in terms of an uptick, you know, in terms of that arch of a story, was then we put in and bled in the actual song by Coldplay.
Yeah.
Sky Full of Stars, where it incorporated the kids doing these halftime runs and their families and everything else like that. And that really resonated. And also what it tells other people is, you know your case. You know your people. You know your audience. And if you're willing to put this time in and energy, that you're most likely going to hit the chord with the jury too.
That's great. And that you're not picking, like when you said the song, I was like, oh, that's a great song to pick. Because it's not, you don't feel like you're getting played on emotionally by picking those songs.
Right.
Like you're like, I like this song, you're listening to it, but it does bring about some of that emotion in you. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed. That's awesome.
we've used Fix You before for a—
Oh, Fix You was incredible.
For a gentleman who fell down a flight of outdated stairs without the requisite safeties on it or safety rails. And he was a very high level math, almost genius, got a perfect score in his SATs.
Oh,
so because of his head injury, he was diminished. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we had gotten out of his mom was, you know, he keeps saying to me, Mom, I'm broken. And she's not. So I knew automatically we're going to end with the fade out to her. And it was just, how do we do the build up?
I have the chills.
Yeah, no.
So do I.
Send me your email address. I'll be able to share these.
Yes,
these with
I
you.
Would yeah. like to see it. It's very cool because we don't have that in workers' compensation.
No.
You know, we just have a judge that we hope and pray is compassionate.
And also, you know what? But it also has to be justified by the case.
Mm-hmm.
Because by the time these things are not cheap to do. And by the time you get done doing that, you can't turn around and say to the client, oh, look at the great video we put together.
Yeah,
you know, showing your struggle. And by the way, we got you $50, on the back end, you know. So it has to be justified because
for
the cost
has to
squeeze, right?
You just really, touched me in the sense that you bring up somebody.
Not physically.
No one can see us, but we're all separated here.
Yeah.
No one's touching each other.
Hold on. Should I put my shirt back on? No, but when you mention his mother, right? I can tell you, when something happens to your child, even if they're an adult, okay, and there's an essence to that, okay. In other words, when you talk about music, okay. A lot of the music that they put on the veterans coming home. I can't get, like those videos that when a veteran comes home.
Oh,
you can't get.
You want to go cry, put on the YouTube.
Literally.
I don't want to go cry. I'm actually bawling, right? So my point is, your point is so, it's true. I'm talking about the happy ones,
The joy of the joy. Your most precious loved one coming back home to safety.
So it is
incredible.
Poignant. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely, you're bringing it, you're evoking emotions because you're matching the music with the actual situation.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're not trying to, artificially create, you know, put a sad song.
It's not that trite. You know, some of those TV shows like Parenthood and stuff. Yeah. I love them, but they're built to make me cry. Right. Like, I know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah,
obviously. Okay, I want to say this. We only have a couple minutes left. So obviously, ID in the show. You listen to the Files Law Hour here on WWDB Talk 860. I'll say it. The attorneys that you're listening to, as outstanding as they are, they work off of something called a contingent fee, which means there's no out-of-pocket cost.
There it is.
There is.
Ding, ding, ding.
In every show, but that's important because people may think they can't afford these attorneys. There's no out-of-pocket cost, not only for the consultation, which is confidential, but also to retain them, okay? And, you know, these attorneys have the resources to go the distance. When the big insurance company wants to bring in the experts and that are unlimited, with their unlimited cash flow, these attorneys will do, they will not spare, an expert or whatever it takes to be successful. Before we go, I do want to say one thing. What you mentioned, giving back. The Tuyas don't even know one another, and the sentiments that you have. But Brian Fritz is so incredibly amazing when it comes to being committed to the community, and so are you, Caitlin. We got 5 minutes left, but I'd like you to both comment on it. Kate, you comment first, and Brian, if you would, because it's. So we've done so many shows on it.
Yeah, we have a firm event tonight. We are working with the United Way, and we're going to set up the food pantry in the Bucks County area to prepare for Thanksgiving. So we have a team going in there tonight to bring in. Everyone has to bring their own cans of food, and then we're, I guess, cleaning it. I don't know what we're doing. We're just going and volunteering. I'm assuming we're getting ready for Thanksgiving. But then on Thanksgiving, we also have a team that goes to the homeless shelter. There's only one emergency homeless shelter in all Bucks County, so we work with them all the time. So we go there on Thanksgiving morning, and we actually get the food ready for all the residents and get them prepared. So, it's right around this time of year that there's a lot of stuff coming, but we try to do stuff throughout the year.
So, birds of a feather, right? We've had shows just on, the endeavors. Talk about it.
So I recently became more involved with a domestic violence group by the name of Soldiers of Love, and I actually had an opportunity to speak at one of their annual sort of dinner awards event. And I'm actually working with them now to try to work with other groups that have children that are the fallout of domestic violence that people often overlook. Mm-hmm. And there's some groups helping the children to try to bring these two groups together. And again, that collective, and work with them to try to bring the joy of the holidays back and have these women who have been displaced with domestic violence, as well as these children who have been displaced with domestic violence, somehow enjoy that collective spirit and, with toys, sharing, those sorts of things.
Please send me more details on that. Yeah. We're always looking to get involved with, great organizations, because I'm like, I don't need to rebuild the wheel here. Like, if someone exists, let us know. We're happy to get involved.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Which is amazing. There's nowhere to segue from that. That is incredible. How about buying the food for during the pandemic talk about that, because of the first line workers, you took care of them.
Well, not only that, and then after the riots, when it became clear that the police didn't have much of a reason to show up for work anymore, regardless of what your position is about police or not, it's a necessary thing. They're a necessary component of our society. And it really became troubling of why they would even, show up for work at that point in time. So they were part of the frontline workers too. And we focused on the police and the frontline workers while simultaneously purchasing meals from restaurants. And all 20 of those restaurants are still in business. Not only here in Philadelphia and South Jersey, but also Boca Raton, Cleveland, and Los Angeles. We did that from May of 2020 through October of 2020 that I personally paid for.
We did the same thing.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Much smaller because I just have my firm, but we did the same thing in Bucks County.
Okay. Well, and hopefully those restaurants
have
the same. Yeah. Or wow,
that's very cool.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. Brian, contact information.
Sure.
Yourself with the firm.
Brian Fritz, Fritz and Bean Cooley, 215-458-2222. And email address is bfritz@fbesq.com.
Shout out to Pat Biancooley, great friend. I can't say enough about Pat. Alexis, contact information.
Alexis Crandall, 484-356-6666.
And, of course, our host with the most, Caitlin Files, contact information.
215-987-6452 and all over social media at Files Law Office.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, this show was as quality a show as there was ever going to be.
It was a great show.
It was
great.
Fantastic.
Great.
And by the
thank
way,
you, for coming.
You guys had something to do with it, too. It wasn't just all me.
No, you carried the whole thing, Joe.
Well, enough about me. Let's shout out to Tyler in the producer's room. Fantastic broadcast. Always a pleasure to have you, Brian. And this is, by the way, Caitlin Files Day here on WWDB Talk 860. She's got another live show at 2 o'clock. So she's hitting it and getting it. Of course, we always love seeing Alexis Crandall, Weinemann Pain and Wellness. A fantastic show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Files Law Hour here on WWDB Talk 860. Shout out to Brian Fritz, Fritz Biancooley, Alexis Crandall, and our host, Caitlin Files. On behalf of everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening.